this week, what I did want to bring up is how happy I am, Tom, that your mother's going to be more closely associated with the show. The Duchess of Ladywell.
Well, what? Hang on. What is going on?
You're listening to the Host Unknown podcast.
Well, hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome. after a little slightly uncomfortable start there.
It wasn't uncomfortable for us, Tom.
Mr. Malik, how are you, sir?
I'm good, thanks. I'm good. I'm so glad that we got the right Langford involved in this show this time.
Right. Yeah, moving swiftly on from you. Mr. Agnes, how are you, sir?
Just echoing Jav's comments, really. I think we're really making progress in terms of having the right Langford involved in this show.
Well, yes, it's true. It's true. My mother has become a sponsor of the show. Her comment to me was, you know, why aren't your family members sponsoring the show as well? To be perfectly honest, you know, it always falls to the Langfords to shoulder the lion's share here. But
because me and Andy don't get pocket money from our parents anymore.
We have to go out and earn our own.
It's not pocket money. It's an allowance.
Did you tell me this? Did you actually invoice your own mother?
No. Well, I mean...
Or is this a cash in hand job that the taxman needs to know about?
All I did was add a line item in the normal invoice for every month.
Oh dear, the cost of being a good son is going up.
Damn straight. You know, if she wants to talk about a prodigal son returning, well, that's extra.
Did you put that line item above or below the one where you charged her for not cutting the crusts off the sandwich?
Oh dear, Mum, I know you're listening because you certainly listened to last week's show. Thank you very much. We certainly appreciate it. That money is now rattling around at the bottom of our empty bank account, paying for our annual fees on running this thing.
More likely, Tom's local takeaway has seen the benefit of that cash.
Actually, I'll be honest, since moving in by myself, I've cooked every meal myself, every night.
I would dispute the word cook.
Yeah.
I mean, prepared, I would accept, but cooking is a bit of a loose
interpretation. What do you mean cook it? It's great. I've been sending you pictures and everything. It looks beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. I actually thought that that burger you sent a photo of, I actually, on first glance, thought it actually had ketchup. In the middle of it, where it was just pure blood. I thought you'd somehow, you know, hand-rolled it with a big dollop of ketchup. But
it's got to be juicy. Cooking. It's got to be juicy. But yeah, I've been making the most of the delights of the George Foreman grill that I was gifted. And it's great. It's so quick and easy. God, I don't know why. They should do adverts on telly for these things. but yes, no takeaways. No takeaways at all. Not even, you know, my favourite, you know, curry house takeaway, the Akash of Chippenham. Not even from them yet. So I haven't quite fallen into full bachelorhood just yet. So, what have we got for you today? And we say this every week, and we say the same thing every week. We've got the tweet of the week. That's coming from Andy. We've got the Billy Big Balls from me. Or, in fact, this week it's going to be the Bonobo Big Balls, I think. Rant of the week from Jav. And, well, it's become a bit of a running piece every week. Will we have a little people today, Jav? Or is it a little... Is it little people's surprise?
It is a surprise. I do have one, actually, people of the internet.
What?
Andy's heard it, but you haven't, Tom. And this all become clear.
We'll add it in post.
We'll add it in post, will we? Okay. So I still can't hear it. Okay. So talk about being torn here. It's like 50%, yes, we're actually going to have a full feature set, and 50%, oh, cock, what have you guys gone and done? But we'll see. We will see. So what we've been up to this week, Andy, just as busy as normal?
Busy as normal. I think I am not a lawyer, as you may be surprised to hear. I've just been kind of buried in legal and regulatory requirements from other regions, and obviously pretending to be a subject matter expert on the opinion, as I'm sure many people in our industry do.
One page ahead in the book, that's all you need to be.
Subject matter Googler, I am.
SMG. Yeah. I like that. I'm going to use that. I'm going to steal that and call it my own. Just like everything else you say, exactly. I steal. Oh, dear. Jav, what about yourself?
Me? I've been, I've been raising the next generation well, I think. I don't know how this happened, but my daughter, she received a WhatsApp phishing message last night. It was, I don't know, it was just from a UK number. It said, oh, we've detected unauthorized access on your PayPal account. Visit this link to remove the block. So she immediately knew this was a scam, A, because she doesn't have a PayPal account, but B, because she knows these things. So she replied with the script of B-movie in Morse code.
Please tell me it was an audio file.
No, it was written out, but it was hilarious.
Nice.
So she was allowed an extra suite last night before going to bed.
An extra suite.
Yeah. The next generation are something I'm very much hopeful for the future of our country.
Especially after the TV show, that was brilliant.
Oh my god.
Come on.
Right,
come
moving
on.
Swiftly on.
Moving swiftly on, yes, indeed. So, we shall talk more about sponsors, because obviously they have paid, Mother, you have paid for a slot. To, not sure what we're going to say, but...
So, we address your mother as the Duchess of Ladywell.
That's correct.
Just mother, I think. That's very...
Absolutely. I think that's using her formal title as bestowed upon her by the subjects of Ladywell. But yes, absolutely. Duchess of Ladywell. Or if you're a builder, Duchess. So, yes, let's move on. Why don't we... I've lost everything on here. Ah, here we go. Yeah, so why don't we go on to the...
Tweet of the week.
That
Damn,
was
you
really impressive.
Yeah.
I was about to say, I nearly had heart palpitations because I thought I was going to crash it, but that was perfect.
You pressed it 5 seconds before you wanted to move.
I think I pressed it just before I started playing recording this this episode. So, Mr. Clooley, if you're listening, there's no gap. Anyway, I'm going to prove I can do it again.
Yeah, and as he knows, we don't fix stuff in post. You hear is live.
We are au naturel. So, okay, so why don't we talk about this week's...
Tweet of the Week.
So this is one which I was amused by. So I can't remember how I ended up on Twitter. I received a link for something and obviously I opened up Twitter and I hit the homepage and the usual bile and...
bile and hatred.
Yeah, and toxicity, which goes about. But at the top of my timeline was a tweet which I was amused by. And this caught my eye for many reasons. One, because I've worked in offices which are very close to Marks and Spencer's. I have a Marks and Spencer's, like the little shop petrol station very close to my house. So whenever I frequent these places, one thing which will always make it into my basket is a packet or two of Percy Pigs, which you may be familiar with. They are the I guess the M&S equivalent of Haribo, or you know, that genre of sweets. But to be clear, these are M&S ones. Yeah, they're not just your average gelatine and port wine.
This isn't just hooves and lips. This is M&S hooves and lips.
Exactly. Yeah. And so this was about an article which has come out. The National Food Strategy Report is accusing Marks and Spencer of false virtue in the display of its ingredients of sweets. And they're accusing M&S of sort of implying that these sweets are, you know, sort of pink, sweet, cute and all natural. Which I would be astounded if anyone thought that these sweets were full of natural goodness and were actually, you know, counted towards one of your five a day.
One of your five animal products a day.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess that, you know, one of the reasons these are so popular is they also have vegetarian, you know, equivalents.
They're lovely, the veggie Percy's.
Yeah, and, you know, they've got a real nice texture and consistency to them. So
it's slightly thicker, isn't it?
Yeah.
Slightly more chewy.
Yeah, and I'm a big fan of them. And as my wife is also partial to the odd one or two when I've got them, and she's vegetarian, so, you know, must be a winner. You know, treat for all the family. This tweet that accompanied this article, or rather in response to this article, is a guy from Trevor Callaghan. And he says, "I just want to be clear that I have never been misled by a bag of Percy Pigs. I knew what was getting into. I knew what I was getting into. I'm kind of disappointed there's only four forms of sugar in them." I mean, these sweets, they taste good, you know, and to me,
of course they got sugar in.
Exactly. And this is, yeah, who genuinely thought that these were all natural products that were just good for you? And I'm glad that this guy just kind of called it out in such a simple way.
Good on you, Trevor Callaghan.
Exactly, because I think, you know, what the report's actually pointing out is the fact they're saying this is made with real fruit juice. As if that is the line that, you know, that is going to convince you that these things must be good.
You mean fruit juice that has sugar in it?
Yes, exactly, that type of fruit juice.
I mean, fruit... it's all just sugar at the end of the day. This, you know, fructose, glucose, sucrose, whatever. It's all just sugar. It's just in a slightly different form. As you said, different forms of sugar in it. But yeah, it's still just sugar. So, if you can't work out that, you know, with fruit juice, they're using the fruit juice to sweeten it because fruit juice has sugar in it.
I mean, no sweets will ever be healthy, right? You know, the clue's in the
no.
Yes.
Yeah.
And once someone invents something that's sweet tasting, that is, you know, entirely healthy for you, that person will become richer than Bezos.
Yeah. And by the way, oranges, apples, and bananas don't count.
Yes.
No.
Unless they're foam bananas.
Exactly. Yeah.
Terry's chocolate oranges, or what is it? Apple. What is there? Sweet.
So you get sour apple.
Oh, apple, toffee, improved by the by basting it in sugar.
Speaking of these sweets, I can't remember whether it was here or whether it was in America, but I got a packet off vegetarian jelly beans once, and it had a logo on it saying approved by the Heart Association.
That would be American. Yeah,
approved by the American Heart Association. It had a green little heart made out of it. And I was looking at it thinking, I'm shocked there's gambling going on in this casino.
Exactly.
And this is the country where, you know, famously, you know, you can pay to have, you can pay doctors to recommend your product to patients.
Yeah.
You know, it's... capitalism at its finest.
It is indeed.
My goodness. Well, I think that's a pretty good tweet because I think that sums it up, I must admit. So I think that definitely counts for this week's
Tweet of the Week.
You know what? I was just thinking, we need Trevor Callaghan to read some reports that are published by security researchers and vendors and the like. And just come out with his own take on them.
Cut to the chase.
Yeah. Oh, no shit, Sherlock. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you're listening, Trevor, you are at Travola Foam. There's got to be a story behind that. But at Travola Foam on Twitter, if you're listening, come join us. We'll send you a security article, and we would love your three-line take on it. If you could throw in sugar, then eat all the better. Oh, dear. So I think we've kicked off the Host Unknown Information Security podcast really well there. I think we've really hit the industry on the head there. You know, as a information security community advice show. Let's hope that changes in the next link, eh?
Go on, Tom.
Oh, dear. Anyway.
You're listening to the Host Unknown podcast. More fun than a security vendor's briefing.
Yes, you are. We're going to have to update these jingles at some point, perhaps when we reach episode 25 or something like that.
You know, they cost a bit of money. They don't come for free. And, you know, as much as we appreciate the allowance Mrs. Langford Sr., the Duchess of Ladywell has provided us, that's not enough to change the jingles. We need some real hardcore sponsors for that.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. I tell you what, should we get straight on to the Bonobo Big Balls, and then we can start chasing for more sponsors. I mean, let's face it, we've now had two sponsors. That's not a coincidence. That's not a freak happening. No. We're obviously worth sponsoring.
And we are 200% up on last year in terms of sponsors.
We are. Yeah, we are 200%.
So, who else is showing 200% growth year on year?
Oh,
in their sponsorship stats.
Especially during times of the Rona.
Indeed. Right. Okay. Let's get on to the
Billy Big Balls of the Week.
All right. This one is me. This was in the Sunday Times on Sunday. And it's behind a paywall, I'm afraid, but I'm sure we can put a, you know, so I had to send the two chaps here a screenshot because I know they wouldn't be able to afford to get behind that paywall.
And what I like about this, if I can just say, is it's clearly a screenshot from your giant iPad. Like I had to shrink it down to try and fit it into the show notes this week.
No. This is the large. So Tom's got a different iPad. This is clear from the lady, the Duchess of Ladywell's iPad. He was round there. She's the one that subscribes to this, not Tom.
No, actually, I just use my mother's subscription.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on. So, Knowsley Safari Park. Knowsley Safari Park, which is up north, has a problem. So, as you know, many safari parks have, you know, monkey and baboon and enclosures that you drive through. And they're all netted off. And basically, if you ever wanted to pay money to have your car destroyed, this is how you do it. Because you drive in and they start pulling off windscreen wipers. A friend of mine... Oh, was it a passing car or passing plane?
That was a passing lorry. Did you actually hear that?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So I've got my windows open at the moment.
You spent too much on your microphone. It's too good.
Yeah.
I don't know. And so, in fact, a friend of mine went into one in a sort of an old Land Rover, and these little bastards started peeling off the rubber ceiling around the windows that would actually, the windows would literally have popped out.
They're relentless.
Yeah, exactly. They're absolutely relentless, and it's all part of the fun. But you know, and
it's not your own car, it's part of the fun.
Yeah, when you're watching the one in front. Yeah, exactly. And you know, they do unspeakable things on the bonnet of the car and all that sort of stuff. But Knowsley Safari Park, possibly because it's at location, I don't know. You know, up north, has a problem. So I believe that they are bonobo monkeys. Hence the bonobo big balls. And they have been seen approaching cars armed with knives and screwdrivers. which I think, I mean, is that a Scouser problem?
That's definitely a Scouse thing. Like, yeah. Hey, you ever met my mate Stanley? You know,
Stanley. Yeah.
You ever hear that at a football match? You know, you're in trouble as a scrubber.
What's the B&Q own brands and whatnot? I don't know. Hey, have you met my friend Dial? Anyway, excuse me. So they don't know if they've nicked these out of toolboxes out of the back of pickups and things like that. They've nicked them out of toolboxes, let's face it. Or if people are actually giving them. But, you know, although it's, you know, the headline, you know, the headlines in things, they normally sort of, you know, that's the big thing. And the story's a bit of a letdown afterwards, right? It says, the headline is Safari Park Baboons Armed with Knives. Later it goes, armed with knives, blah, blah, blah. Keepers have even seen a bonobo monkey with a chainsaw.
That's my favourite part.
That should be the headline, surely.
You imagine you're sitting in the car, watching the car in front getting its hubcaps ripped off, and then like, you know, some monkey just casually walking towards you with a chainsaw.
Looking at you straight in the eyes.
With a face made out of the skin off his victims.
necklace of ears or whatever. Yeah. This is just brilliant. You just wouldn't believe that this was this country.
I know. I mean, if it was America, it wouldn't have even made, you know, page four or whatever. It's like, you know, chainsaws, why haven't these got guns? They should know their rights. I mean, that's the next stage, right? But anyway, just brilliant story. And I just, if 2020 couldn't get any worse, it's the fact that Safari Park, you know, monkeys now are armed with knives, screwdrivers, and chainsaws. Oh, dear. So I could not resist that one. I thought that was absolute genius. And the fact that these monkeys are just, you know, taking it up a level, brilliant, brilliant. So that was this week's
Billy Big Balls of the Week.
Sorry, Bonobo Big Balls.
Thank you, Andy and Tom, for those two brilliant information security stories on our podcast.
You can tell we're sort of losing interest slightly, can't you?
I have actually been mugged by monkeys before. And not just
really?
Me and a group of friends. It was
not just northern monkeys.
Not just northern monkeys. This was in Thailand. It was Bali. We went to this sort of monkey temple, and you got all the sellers outside selling you big bunches of bananas, you know, as tourists to take in. And the idea is feed the monkeys.
Is it like the high street? Get your bananas here.
Pretty much, yeah.
What?
But
pound a bunch.
It's more, you know, sort of gesturing with hand motions and sort of like laughing when they say what the price is, and then, like, you know, you settle on something which is clearly above, you know, cost anyway, but they you know, they act like they're hurt, but they're still prepared to sell them to you, and, you know, you act like you know, you're okay with it, where when you actually realize you put the decimal point in the wrong place and paid a lot more than you should have for you know, bunches of bananas. Anyway, myself and friends, we walked into this monkey temple, this big monkey park, and it was amazing that you know, we had these great big bunches of bananas in our hands. And a couple of monkeys came up in front of us, all kind of cute. And we thought, oh, they're really nice. Literally just about to break one off a bunch and hand it to the monkey. And we got ambushed by about 20 monkeys behind us. And it's clearly some sort of distraction scam that they've got going on. And
the ones with the really big eyes in front of you.
Yeah, they just literally ripped the bunches from our hands. And we didn't see it coming at all. And then, you know, the two that were in front of us ran off with the rest of the pack. And we probably got about 10 metres inside inside the park when this happened. So, yeah, very clearly a big tourist scam. And wouldn't surprise me if those monkeys were trained to then give them back to the vendors.
yeah, they keep one as commission and they have to hand the rest back.
Yeah.
Did the two monkeys in front, you know, after the ones behind it grabbed the... the bananas. So just before the two monkeys in front ran off, did they do sort of like the wanker song?
Yeah. Not far, yeah. Just the chuckle in the middle finger.
That's right.
Oh, man. See, this is where the pigeons at Trafalgar Square were going wrong. I think had they been more savvy, they'd still be around.
Yeah. Do you know what? All the pigeons need is a flick knife, and then they'll be fine. Yeah, they could learn a thing or two off monkeys, let's face it. But yeah, that park is well known for ambushing or monkeys ambushing tourists, isn't it?
Well, not well known to me when I arrived there.
Oh, well. But,
I think probably after experiencing it, yeah.
I've seen a few videos of it, and you know, literally them dropping from the trees onto people's heads and stuff like that, just trying to get the bananas. But yeah, man, oh dear. So you know, sponsors. We want to talk about sponsors, and in fact, something happened earlier this week. That's and bear with me here. This might be a little bit long form, but. Our industry has lost a a stalwart, a meeting place of minds with the closure of Peerlist. Did you guys read about this?
Yes, I did.
Yes.
And
so Peerlist
brought a tear to my eye.
Yeah, absolutely. What, were you laughing hard or something? But but no, seriously, Peerlist has been around for, what, 5 years, something like that? And it was, you know, created by security professionals for security professionals. It was a contributory platform, I think, you know, so you'd write for Peerlist and you would connect to it, and they had a job section, and obviously it would take advertising and things like that. So, but they closed, Tuesday this week, something like that, was it?
End of the month, probably. Oh, I thought it was going to be the end of the month.
I don't know.
Oh, they announced middle of this week, didn't they?
Yeah.
And so I was a I was a lurking member of Peerlist, and I'd been involved in a couple of articles on there. My biggest story with Peerlist was I got disinvited from a lunch at RSA by them because I when I left Publicis because I wasn't a CISO anymore. But
well, as you know, as soon as you lose the title, you automatically lose all knowledge which goes with that position.
Yeah. Absolutely, and my IQ points went up about 30. So, so that was my real interaction. But that's not the point of the story, and that's not what I'm trying to say. So, it's a sad time when you've got something that's, you know, built by security professionals for security professionals closing down. I'm not entirely sure. Obviously, the financials weren't working. That's the reason why things closed down, I guess. But what did catch my eye was I happened to look at Peerlist and at some of the sort of sponsorship packages, and they had one that was list your product for $999, your page will stay forever. And that was there last week, which is a little bit of a problem if you just handed over that money. So I thought, here's the trick. So I thought, we will honour anybody who can prove they've paid the $1,000 for a forever listing. We will honour that sponsorship for one episode. What do you reckon?
I think it's a clever way to... You know, like the old 419 scams and things like that where...
Whoa.
Hear me out. So this is clearly a method of... You know, so you know how a lot of these scammers have bad spelling and stuff like that. And, you know, the intelligent people look at it and say, oh, my God, you know, how would you fall for this? It's got terrible spelling, terrible grammar. This doesn't make sense. That stuff is deliberate to actually identify the people who are not smart enough to determine it's a scam. So are you suggesting that anyone that fell for the Peerlist lifetime advertising offer is someone that we want sponsoring this show? Because if that's the direction you're going, I'm all on board.
Yeah, I'm in. Exactly. Yeah. So, well, what we're doing is we're giving you a try it before you buy it.
Yeah. Here's how it works, folks. If you could prove to us that you paid $999 to Peerlist for that lifetime, we'll give you one episode for free. Well, It's free. The advertising will be free. There will be a slight admin charge. If you could Western Union the money to us, that would be perfect. But other than that, it will run. It's all legit. You can send us your little segment, and we will do it.
We'll do the full pre-roll, mid-roll, and post-roll thing for it. So you get the full suite. You'll get a feel for the whole thing. So you can either record something or send us some text to read out. We'd like the choice of music in the background while we read your stuff out, just because that'll be hilarious. But yeah, we'll do this. We'll do this. That's how desperate we are for sponsors.
And you know, had Peerlist advertised with us, maybe they wouldn't be shutting down.
Well, yeah, you know,
it's just an example of what could happen to you if you don't seize that opportunity.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, absolutely. Let's look at it this way. Let's look at the evidence that backs it up. Smashing Security, that little known podcast, they sponsored our show. Have they gone out of business?
No.
Mrs. Strength Langford Senior. Is she still not the lady of the Duchess of Ladywell, the Lady of Dutchwell?
The Ladywell of Dutchwell. Yeah, she's still going. She's still going. Yep, absolutely.
So there's 100% proof return on investment.
Yeah.
With a brand that's growing 200% year on year while keeping their costs down during the Rona. I'm surprised we don't have VCs just like knocking on our door right now.
I know. And venture capitalists.
Yeah.
I don't know why we'd want people with medals coming to our door, though, but you know, nonetheless. So, yes, if you're listening, this could be you.
Host Unknown. Sponsored by
Peerlist sponsors. I think we're trying to say former Peerlist sponsors. Come to us. Oh. You know it's the right thing. What did you say, Jav?
I said some company that sponsored Peerlist.
Oh, dear. Andy, what have we got next?
Industry news. Our reliable sources over at the InfoSec PA Newswire have been very busy bringing us the latest and greatest security news.
Indeed, I've got high hopes. They have been hitting 6 for 6, our InfoSec Stig. 6 for 6 for about like the last 3 weeks running, right?
Yeah, on a very good roll at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so let's move on to
industry news.
Sheffield Hallam University confirmed Blackboard linked data breach.
Industry news.
Oh, it's me. Garmin confirms cyber attack as ransomware recovery rumoured.
Industry news.
Nation state attackers shift to credential theft.
Industry news.
Qualys announces Spell Security acquisition.
Industry news.
Why are there so few stories this week?
Industry news.
And someone can't spell acquisition properly.
Industry news.
That is.
That was this.
Industry news.
That is, you wouldn't believe how often I see the misspelling of the word acquisition.
Yeah, acquisition.
Yeah.
Acquisition. Yeah.
You'd expect the editor to pick that one out before it got published, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I hope he gets marked down in his or her performance review. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, we crashed the jingles there a little bit, but hey, you know.
That's showbiz.
You can tell that this is a handmade product as a result.
It's like the Etsy of podcasts.
Slightly shit.
No. I like to think of it as, because there's no post editing, it's like no safety net. We're like the Tom Cruise of podcasts. We do our own stunts.
That's true. And I just did the equivalent of breaking my ankle
halfway
through that particular thing. Yeah. Oh, dear. But, 4 stories. Come on, Stig, what are you up to?
Well, it's nearly August. It's probably like, you know, getting ready for the summer holidays.
Winding down, yeah. Getting their beach body ready. Oh dear. So apparently we've got to talk about one of the above stories to reference. Oh, here we go.
I noticed the credential theft one because our resident media whore posted something, which I'll admit I didn't read yet.
Is that friend of the show?
Friend of the show, Javad Malik. I know, Tom, you sort of took the mickey out of the infographics that he inserted.
To
his story. He's sort of gone full management consultant.
No, I took the mickey out of them myself. I told you.
I inserted them
when writing it as a joke, and I was sure that our editor would strip them out. So when I submitted it, our editor came to us and said, I've got a question about the charts. And I was like, oh, there we go. They're going to get it. I said, yeah, what's that? And they were like, can you cite the source for them? I was like, yeah, sure, they're me. I created them. Okay. And so you see them, I'm credited as the source on all the charts.
So Jav's employer, if you're listening, Jav does not take his job seriously.
Do you know what? I many times, and two examples that spring to mind of when you realise you don't joke in professional documents. One, back in the day when I was applying for a job, I asked a friend of mine to print out my CV. This is back in the day when you print your CV, take it with you to an interview. And he basically modified my CV, added something like, you know, this early jobs, you know, I'm good with money. I fiddled the tills at, establishment, blah, blah, blah. I never got caught, as a positive, as a strength of the job. And I never knew about it. And I saw him in the evening. He was like, how'd it go? And then, he was laughing. And then he came into my room and he saw like these CVs that were printed on the side. He's like, why are those ones there? And I said, oh, I took the other ones. And he's like, did you read them before you took them? And I'm like, no, why would I? And obviously he had modified it. And I never actually heard back from that job, funny enough. So I think I know the reason why. But the other time was, my previous company, our MD was sort of anal for, reviewing stuff before it went out. And we had a requirement from a important client of ours who wanted to see our pandemic plan. This is when the bird flu. Yeah. Avian flu was big. As bird flu or swine flu, whichever one came through. They wanted to know that as a vendor, we were able to continue, in that. And so, I basically created this pandemic plan on the fly, as you do, to send to the vendor when you're a startup. And for a joke, I actually put, when someone coughs, the first time someone coughs, we execute them on site and import contractors from India to take over the role. And I sent this on via email, and I didn't hear back for a couple of hours. I took a walk down to his office and I said, hey, are you okay with that plan? Expecting him to joke and say, oh, very good, where's the real one? And he said, sorry, I didn't read it. I just sent it straight to the client. Okay, let's stop putting jokes in proper documentation, because not everyone's on the same level.
No. It kind of reminds me when your accountant was looking at your bank statement, he started laughing at certain transactions, Andy.
I thought that was his expenses.
Yeah.
but that article you wrote, in all fairness, I think, obviously, good article. And yes, the images, the graphs and the stats and all that sort of thing, they don't tell you a lot, but you have to look at them. You have to, kind of concentrate on them to realize this isn't telling me much. And that probably applies to so many articles out there, right?
Yeah.
Well, magic quadrant.
That's Javad's personal opinion, Gartner. If you'd like to sponsor us, please contact me. Thank you very much.
Forrester Wave.
Is Javad's personal opinion.
Any Ponymon graph ever made.
451 research.
The Ponymon research is comment is a host unknown comment. That's fine.
Friends don't let friends quote Ponymon. That's the...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, 451, what about them? Oh, mind you, you were there, Jav, weren't you? So, yeah, it's probably lots of pointless.
No, they actually didn't do any of those comparison charts that...
Did you see Gartner's Risk Cube?
What?
No.
Yeah. Oh, you've got to do... I haven't got one in front of me. It just reminded me. honestly, it will give you a headache to look at and work out what it's trying to say. I could not work it out. I mean, you know, I like to think I know about risk, but I don't, you know, I'm not very academic when it comes to it. I look at things a little bit more simply, as you know, sharks and coconuts and all that sort of rubbish, but and toothbrushes. But I could not work this out at all. So yeah, it's maybe it's, you know, in progress and will improve, but has anybody found it? Is anybody looking it up?
I'm trying to look it up. I can't find anything yet.
Yeah, so the problem is when you search the word, you know, anything with the word Gartner in it is absolutely full of shite, as you would imagine.
Yeah. Is Andy's personal opinion, Gartner, if you'd like to contact us for sponsorship.
Yeah. I'm surprised I've gone like six articles down and not seen the phrase tragic quadrant yet.
Tragic quadrant? Is that a joke or is that a product?
No, that's a common colloquial reference to the magic quadrant.
Oh, I see. I've not heard that one. Not heard one. There you go. There you go. Anyway, so what were we talking about?
Actually, for the listeners, if you want a proper, a really simple and usable risk model, you should check out the Malik Langford risk model.
Yeah, or the Langford Malik one. That's also just as good.
Ah, yes.
I did it alphabetically. You know, you did it in accordance to size of ego.
Yeah, which is the right way. It's that's in accordance with the Host Unknown style guide.
Exactly. Either or, it doesn't matter. Yeah. what was I going to say? Yeah, that one came out quite nicely. Although in reality, it's purely based on a ISO 27005 model, but it's a way of explaining things. We did a coronavirus one, didn't we? COVID-19.
That's right, the special edition.
Yeah. I'll put a link to that in the show notes if I remember. This isn't Smashing Security, folks. We don't have extensive show notes. It's whatever I can be asked to put in before hitting publish.
Whatever you remember, you know, was in the show.
Exactly. You know, let's face it, Google is your friend here. Oh, dear. So I think it's time to talk about our sponsor, actually. It's a sponsor jingle time, isn't it?
Yes.
So, here we go.
Host Unknown, sponsored by insert name here.
The Duchess of Ladywell.
Nice.
There you go. Hope you got your money's worth there, Mum.
Got your money's worth. I see what you did there.
Hey! Little Freudian slip there. again. So, yes, Mum, thank you very much. I was explaining to my mum on the phone. She said, well, what do you need sponsorship for? And when I told her actually just how much we spend just on an annual basis, right? You know, we did that spreadsheet. I've shared that thing with you guys. She was really surprised at how much it actually costs to do it right. or how much it costs to produce content of this quality.
Yeah, exactly.
That's probably more accurate. But yes, there are running costs in all of this. We've pushed against doing a Patreon because, you know, we're not beggars, are we?
No.
At the end of the day, we don't want something for nothing, unlike Smashing Security.
We just bully our friends and family into sponsoring us.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
This is the Kirby model. You know, it's
the Kirby model, yeah.
So for those who don't remember, Kirby was a Hoover, a vacuum cleaner, sorry for our international listeners. And their model was literally the guy would go around and he would put adverts in the local paper saying high paying job, you could win this, that, the other, high commissions. And he'd get like 50 people in a room every week in an area. He says, well, here's your Kirby. They do the demo and says, your target, if you meet your targets, you can go on a Caribbean cruise or something like that. And, you know, your commission is really high. Because your target for this week is you have to sell one, just one. And maybe you can try your parents. And these were expensive. These cost like about $1,000 at the time.
Yeah.
So that first week, they'd go, these kids, these teenagers or early 20s, they'd go home, Mum, Dad, please buy it. It's really important for my job. I finally got a career. I can win trips to the Caribbean. And Mum and Dad, okay, they'll pay for it. And next week it's like, yeah, your target's 20 sales and here's a list of cold calls we made. And no one got any more sales. But Mr. Kirby got like 50 sales out of that week and he was moved on to the next area. So
yeah, just like any kind of pyramid scheme or sorry, MLM scheme,
yeah.
Multi-level marketing. I tell you what, Reddit is full of stories about multi-level marketing scams and stuff like that. I love reading about them.
Yeah, I'm starting to see them on, you know, that Nextdoor app, which I've got. It's certainly, I think it's a bit harsh to say it's an MLM, but you know, like the Avon people.
Yes.
Getting absolutely spammed on that. And I saw some crossfire from, hey, are you replacing whoever was doing it anyway? You know, who normally manages this area. You know, this person's like, oh, I don't know who that person is. You know, I'm just
Turf wars.
Yeah, absolute turf wars with the Avon ladies.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty soon the Avon ladies will be armed with monkeys carrying chainsaws.
And a bag full of Avon products that...
Oh dear. Okay, so I think we can now move on to Jav and his
rant of the week.
Thank you. And unlike you two, I've tried to find something that's actually security and privacy related. Well, more on the privacy side.
Oh, I see how you meant heavily caveated.
Yeah,
heavily it's got on the privacy side. Well, yeah, you know, I thought about it.
It's more it's more relevant to information security professionals than monkeys with chainsaws or.
What's more related security than a threatening monkey with a chainsaw?
And how do you think all these security professionals keep their sugar levels high when they're working late?
See, I mean, Jav, you're just so one-dimensional.
Play the jingle again. You two have ruined the moment. Go on.
Okay. What are you doing? Oh, you're doing rant. Yeah, that's right. You're doing this one.
Rant of the week.
So
I gave you the big one just to really build it up.
Yeah. And you know, last week how I told you how I was actually leaning towards agreeing with Andy on a lot of privacy issues. And how
no,
a lot
you were leading up to a joke.
No. I was making some heartfelt comments. I think, you know, he's right. There is a lot of outrage that is just purely emotion led and not, we don't think it through. And it's really easy to just throw TikTok under the bus. Now, last week, there was a quote unquote bug in Instagram. Yeah. Instagram was really cool before TikTok ate its lunch, but it's still a big thing. And the new iOS update, it started showing that, hey, the camera, Instagram was using the camera even when users weren't taking photos or weren't using an app. And Instagram came out and said, oh, it's a bug. And we're fixing the issue. Yeah, well, it's a bug. It's only to help you scroll through the things and it just says that it's using the camera. It's not really using the camera. Don't worry about it. And everyone's like, oh, okay, if they say so, then that's fine. And that's it. I've not heard anything else about it. And I'm like, you hypocrites. You racist, because if that was TikTok, I swear Twitter would be all over it. All the Americans will be all over it. Everyone would be like, this is terrible. It's a Chinese-led company. They're stealing the data. Now, look, they're taking photos of you while you're on the bog scrolling through the app. But no, it was Instagram. Oh, it must have been a mistake. You know, these things happen. I'm sure Apple have misidentified when they're actually using the camera on the device that they produce. So
this is Facebook SEO all over.
Yeah.
They're controlling the narrative.
Yeah, but it's not even showing up on Twitter really much as a story.
Yeah, like Facebook don't have a whole bunch of bots or influencer accounts on Twitter.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, of course they do.
So I'm with Andy. I'm saying if you want to be outraged equally. And if you're going to say, oh, these things happen or I've got nothing to hide or it must be a bug, then apply that kind of equally as well. So, yeah, I'm going to go download TikTok this week. On my other phone.
Come join the dark
on your other
side.
Phone. on your burner phone.
Yeah, exactly. Baby steps.
Although, to be honest, I don't need to download TikTok because I've got Andy.
Yes.
And Andy's like my quality filter. If it doesn't meet his standards, he doesn't forward it on. Simple as that.
He's like the Heisenberg of TikTok.
Yeah, that's right. At some point in the future, he's going to reduce my supply to zero. And
you're
going
to have to download it. This is.
Then he's going to send me like an affiliate link to where I'll download TikTok and he'll get, I don't know, money or favors or
this is
or
what
the addresses
my
of some of the TikTokers. I don't know.
My handlers have put me onto this scheme to encourage others.
Ah.
All I can say is, woo, money.
Yeah, that's right.
Which also it's happens weird. To be the name of your handler.
Woo, money. but it is weird how, you're absolutely right, Jav, how Instagram having a very, very similar bug, and to be blunt, I think it's our industry or our community having a very short attention span. We've just moved on to the next shiny thing. We've seen the next squirrel running around, and we're chasing that one now. It is bizarre, utterly bizarre. But we have seen it time and time again, haven't we? In these sorts of things.
It is indeed.
Right. Okay. Yes. Thank you very much, Jav, for this week's
rant of the week.
Right, so we come to the closing part of the show. Andy and I are, well, I think we're just sort of, in fact, we've given up holding our breath on this one.
You can breathe again. You can breathe easy, Andy, Tom, and people off the internet. So this week, I went out to a true little person, someone that actually crawled up from the ranks of actually no security background, no technology background, started as a hobby, and now they're working in the industry and they're doing really, really well for themselves. But, you know, security isn't just about being, you know, a good writer or a good technician. It's about people. So I asked this person, like, you know, when they first got their break into the industry, please explain what their first boss or manager was like, because, you know, clearly they must have left a really good impression for them to stay and thrive within the industry.
The little people.
Terrible. Absolutely terrible. And you know what? I should have known what it was going to be like after my first day. He took me out for lunch at the worst West London pub I've ever been in. There was hair in my soup, which I had to pick out of my lap after the waiter tripped over. The wallpaper was hanging off the walls, and I'm sure I saw a chap in a corner with a gun underneath his newspaper. But it got worse after that. For 3 months, I had to commute 4 hours a day, every day, as he insisted it would be good for me to be in the office. What he didn't mention was the fact that I'd be there on my own every day. When he did eventually turn up, I thought I was going to learn loads from him during my career, but all I got was some vague direction on making Earl Grey and emptying his bin at the end of each shift. He was a bit more specific about the on-site pub though. He made it clear that the new boy always pays for the beer. Strangely, I continued to be the new boy long after the team expanded. I never did understand how that worked. But back to the office, and this guy, who I thought was going to be a fantastic mentor, proved to be anything but. He only turned up for a couple of hours every other Wednesday, and my emails to him were never answered. All I got was some muttering about bad luck with laptops and phones and how easy they were to misplace in the local pubs and restaurants. Who am I talking about? Well, you know, it's obviously... Hang on. Are you recording this?
The Little People.
Munson!
Some good points well made, I think, during that this week's Little People.
Okay.
I think that was... For those who weren't aware, that was Lee Munson. He was... He's much beloved within the industry. He started off just...
Well, he was.
It's just, I'm going to ruin him.
Well, you already tried your best, but he left, Tom. So.
Yeah. I'll get you, Lee Munson.
He's now under the protection of Rice-a-Money.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh. Oh, dear, it was weird hearing his voice again. I mean, the guy never said two words anyway.
Other than, do you want sugar in your Earl Grey, sir?
No, he said, well, he would say two words. He could say, yes, boss. So, which, you know, I taught him well. So, Raj, I hope you like your tea and you're welcome. Ah, lovely. Oh, so nice to be reminded of one's own little people.
See how far you've fallen, Tom. And now you're invoicing your own mother to generate revenue, hey?
and ambulance chasing sponsors from Peerlist, the now decamped.
Yeah, there's just oh yeah, because I'm doing that all by myself at the moment, aren't I?
You are. I mean,
as opposed to you guys slagging off Gartner and Forrester.
See, this is
going to include Ponemon in that.
This is where, like, you know, we keep it real, and people from the streets will appreciate keeping it real. And so we'll get the real OG sponsors, the ones who we really want associated with the brand. It's a form of filtering them out, like the Nigerian scams.
Yeah, absolutely. We want the companies that are dumb enough to give us a lot of money, not the companies that are smart enough to give us little to none. Is that what you're saying? Am I paraphrasing that right?
Exactly. I think you hit the nail on the head.
Exactly. And with that resounding noise, I think that brings us to the end of the show. So, yes, jolly well done. Jolly well done, everybody. Jav, thank you very much for your time and for being on time and for not being tired.
And for bringing some security news. But you're welcome.
Yes, absolutely. And Andy, thank you very much, and have yourself a good week.
Stay secure, my friends.
Stay secure, my friends.
Host Unknown, the podcast, was written, performed, and produced by Andrew Agnes, Javad Malik, and Tom Langford. Copyright 2015, or something like that. Insert legal agreement here as applicable and binding in your country of residence. We thank you.
Oh, I think we got away with that one.
That was a pretty shit episode, wasn't it? Hopefully we'll get some sponsors as a result.